Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Tina Nunziato, and with me is Dr. Liz Cruz. Welcome. Welcome to another amazing show. We have an amazing GI focus for you tonight, and it's on, you know, a topic that I actually just love saying, by the way. I don't even know that much about it, but I just love saying it. It's on eosinophilic esophagitis. Is that a mouthful or what?
It is.
Now, what was the abbreviated term you used?
EOE.
EOE.
Yes.
That's not as much fun as saying eosinophilic esophagitis.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, it's not as much fun.
I say it about five times.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about this. Is it a disease? What is it?
It is.
It's
yes.
a disease.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk
Absolutely.
About this disease tonight during our GI Focus. So for those of you that know, when I start a podcast, it's time for another GI Focus. And in these GI Focuses, we take a disease or a symptom or an issue from the digestive system. Mm-hmm. Or actually, sometimes we've done them outside of the digestive system, but
Absolutely.
Maybe something that affects the digestive
right.
system.
Right.
And we just put a magnifying glass on mm-hmm. it, and we just go through it in detail. And I learned so much from these myself. I don't know about you all out there, but the purpose is to educate you about what these things are and what to look for, things like that. So, Dr. Cruz, in typical GI focus fashion, mm-hmm. what is eosinophilic esophagitis?
Do you want to just use EOE during the podcast, or you
sure.
want to say it?
No, well, I'll throw it in every once in a while.
All right. Basically, inflammation of the lining of the esophagus. And
that's not very glamorous.
I know.
I thought it was going to be so much bigger than that.
Well, no.
Okay.
Actually,
there's more.
The inflammation is caused by these white blood cells called eosinophils.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Now I see where it comes from.
That's right.
Okay.
You have different types of white blood cells that are made in your body, and eosinophil is one of the type of white blood cells. And so in this specific disease, so to speak, we'll call it a disease,
mm-hmm.
Typically the inflammation, when a pathologist looks at biopsies of the esophagus, what they'll see under the microscope is a lot of these eosinophil cells, okay?
And it's a white blood cell.
It's a white blood cell. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that the white blood cell releases a certain protein chemicals that cause irritation, inflammation of the lining of the esophagus.
Okay, so talk about white blood cells, mm-hmm. first of all, right? So I want people to understand the purpose of the white blood cell.
Yes.
Okay, so start there.
The purpose of the white blood cell, in general, mm-hmm. the white blood cells are the ones that, they're like your soldiers. They're the soldiers that go to fight the battles when there's something foreign there in the body, that, you know, something that the body's being exposed to, a bacteria, a virus, just something that is foreign.
Cancer.
Right?
So you might see high white blood cell counts
in certain types of cancers. Yeah.
Someone
like
that's sick.
Yes.
Someone that's really sick would have a high white blood cell count.
They may.
Okay.
It depends how sick they are. And, okay. and if, you know, it depends if they're getting certain treatment. If their immune system is down, their white blood cell count may be very low.
Okay.
Which actually then predisposes that person to infections. Mm-hmm. Because the little soldiers, the white cells, are so, the white blood cell count is so low mm-hmm. that it just, you know, they're susceptible to
the body can't fight
infections.
Anything.
Yeah, it's
right.
hard for the body to fight.
So why are so many of these white blood cells in that area to begin with? Is it because there's something going on in the lining of the esophagus to begin with?
Yes, it's typically you know, you can see these eosinophils even in someone who has acid reflux, okay? I mean, in someone who has gastroesophageal reflux, who's refluxing acid into their esophagus, causing there to be irritation, inflammation, you can actually see these eosinophils,
okay.
All right? But another big cause for eosinophilic esophagitis or for the infiltration of these white blood cells that we're seeing a lot of is due to allergies.
Mm.
Okay, allergies to foods, environmental allergies, mm-hmm. like to pollens, for example.
Okay.
So we're seeing a lot of that. And so it's something, you know, when I find eosinophilic esophagitis in any of my patients, you know, even if they have acid reflux, I will always send them off to an allergy specialist mm-hmm. to work them up for food allergies and environmental allergies, you know, to see if there's something that they're allergic to that could also be causing that.
And this disease is only in the esophagus. Yes.
So you can actually have eosinophilic enteritis, eosinophilic colitis. I mean, you can have eosinophilic infiltration throughout your entire intestine.
But the fact that we're saying esophagitis,
we're focused on the esophagus.
Okay, exactly. Very good. Okay, so talk a little bit about what symptoms people present with when they could have potentially have this.
So the most common thing that patients will describe is difficulty swallowing or the feeling that food is getting impacted or stuck in their esophagus. Mm-hmm. And so on any of my patients who reports having difficulty swallowing, chest pain, I will always work them up, you know, I'll always take extra biopsies in the esophagus to look for mm-hmm. eosinophilic esophagitis. Mm-hmm. And they can have upper abdominal pain. They can have heartburn, acid reflux mm-hmm. type symptoms. But, you know, by and far, the most common thing that I'll hear is difficulty swallowing, that feeling of food getting stuck in the esophagus, sometimes chest pain. And that's somebody who's already been worked up for their heart, and mm-hmm. we know that their heart is fine.
Okay. And you mentioned doing a procedure on them, an mm-hmm. upper endoscopy. Are there any, what are the other tests you would run on these individuals to really identify what's going on there?
You can get some blood tests. You can get a CBC, which is a complete blood count, which will actually look at the white blood cell count and the different types of white blood cells, because you have different types of white blood cells. Mm-hmm. Eosinophils are just one type of white blood cell. But ultimately, the gold standard is to do an upper endoscopy, mm-hmm. which is where we go in with the camera and into the esophagus and into the stomach and mm-hmm. the first part of the small intestine, and do biopsies in the esophagus. Mm-hmm. You know, now the thing with eosinophilic esophagitis, again, the finding will be these white blood cells, these eosinophil cells in the tissue, in the mm-hmm. biopsies that are taken from the esophagus. And it can be very patchy.
Mm.
You know, I could take some biopsies from
one area
where there may be zero eosinophils mm-hmm. and then maybe, you know, not too far away from that area, take some other biopsies where there'll be a high concentration. Mm-hmm. So really, when we're doing these procedures, it's really important to make sure that we get several biopsies from different parts of the esophagus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll come back to that in a second. Can you just by the eye, can you see this disease?
Sometimes mm-hmm. there are definite features that you can sometimes see in the esophagus that can be suggestive or consistent mm-hmm. with EOE. Sometimes you can see little horizontal rings, mm-hmm. like these little subtle rings running up the, you know, throughout the esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll see like these little linear, like vertical lines, little furrows.
Okay.
You know, those are a couple of the features or characteristics that you can see in the esophagus that would lead you to think, oh, you know, this is mm-hmm. probably EOE.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but not all the time. Also, these people can sometimes develop strictures, mm-hmm. okay, because with the
inflammation, which is a blockage,
you know, but when you've got that inflammation in the esophagus, you know, that can ultimately lead to scar tissue.
Right.
And
so the buildup of scar tissue over time kind of reduces the size of the esophagus.
It minimizes the opening.
Right.
You can get scar tissue, like fibrous type tissue. Mm-hmm. You can get strictures. You have to be really careful in patients with EOE because you can very easily cause a tear,
a perforation
in the esophagus. We biopsy these patients. Sometimes we have to stretch the esophagus in certain areas, you know, depending on what we see. And, you know, we just have to be very careful. I mean, mm-hmm. anytime we do these procedures, there's always going to be that risk of perforation. But, you know, we just have to use our judgment when we're in there doing these procedures.
How many biopsies are you typically taking?
You know, on average, I mean, there was a guideline that would say, you know, you should take at least five biopsies, uh-huh. you know, take some in the upper part of the esophagus, some in the lower part. I mean, I just came back from that meeting, the GI meeting in Las Vegas a few weekends ago. And basically the doctor that was talking about the EOE, the eosinophilic esophagitis, was just, you know, she was really trying to make a point about the patchiness of the disease and to just, you know, take several biopsies mm-hmm. throughout different parts of the esophagus.
Well, I know you don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
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 You're pretty thorough with your biopsies.
I try to take plenty of biopsies.
Yeah. So let's say the biopsies come back positive mm-hmm. for EOE. What's next for the patient?
So if this patient has acid reflux, I will always make sure that they are on acid reflux medicine, and typically the one that, you know, the medication that I like to make sure they're on is a proton pump inhibitor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know there's a lot of bad press about these medicines.
A lot of controversy right now.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know that acid reflux can cause you to have those eosinophils in there. Mm-hmm. So I always will put them on that medicine.
And I just wanted to say, because the acid is refluxing up and kind of burning mm-hmm. the tissue,
causing inflammation,
so the
irritation,
white blood cells kind of rush
right,
to heal.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So putting them on the proton pump inhibitors to reduce their acid is number one. And then, like I said, I will always refer these patients out to an allergy specialist to get worked up.
Because it might be something in their diet.
Could be something that they're allergic to that they're not aware of.
That they could stop eating,
yes.
which would stop the inflammation and stop.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Right. And so, you know, I send them off for the to see the allergy specialist. They get worked up. If they find any allergies to foods, then, you know, we advise them to eliminate those foods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then we can always go back in and re-biopsy, repeat an endoscopy and re-biopsy, you know, like 6-8 weeks later.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah.
Would it heal that
quickly? Well, it just depends. Well, okay. You know, realistically,
yeah.
by the time we get a patient to see an allergy specialist, probably takes that long.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So realistically, if I'm going to repeat an endoscopy, it's not going to be in 6 to 8 weeks because mm-hmm. sometimes we're lucky if we can even get them in
right.
to an allergy specialist. And then they've got to do the workup on them. And then if they find something, they've got to eliminate the food.
Right.
So you've got to give them some time.
Yeah.
So realistically, it's never really mm-hmm. 6 to 8 months. And
8 weeks.
I mean, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, it's more like
it's more
six,
like
to, eight
six
months.
To 8 months. Well, that would make more sense. I mean, to give them a few months being off the food
right,
for the
right,
body to heal, right?
Right? I mean, hopefully not 6 to 8 months, but
right.
sometimes it does feel like that.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes there are patients who don't respond to the proton pump inhibitors, who maybe eliminate foods if they are found to have allergies, who still don't get better, or let's say that they aren't found to have any sort of allergies, no food allergies, no environmental allergies, you know, but they're still having symptoms, let's say some difficulty swallowing. So sometimes we have to treat with topical type steroids that they can swallow. They can either, you know, there's different, a couple different types of steroids that they can take, mm-hmm. you know, orally.
Is it a liquid or a pill?
There's a pill, mm-hmm. and then there's There's an inhaler.
Oh, an inhaler.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, but there's, I mean, they're basically steroids. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do have to go to something stronger, like a prednisone type of steroid. Mm-hmm.
To treat and that, does that usually work mm-hmm. for those people?
Yeah, they do really well.
Okay. And then anything from a natural standpoint that you would recommend to patients with EoE?
I mean, in general, I mean, you can put them on you could put them on digestive enzymes and probiotics, but with these patients, you really need to get them worked up for Absolutely. Food allergies. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do need to put them on, you know, some form of a topical steroid mm-hmm. in addition to their proton pump inhibitor. And,
is that short term though, or long term?
Well, hopefully short term.
Right. Okay.
Hopefully short term. I mean, you know, if you find a food that they're allergic to, then, you know, for some of these people, they're going to have to stop the food, mm-hmm. eliminate that permanently. I mean, if they're allergic to it, you can take them off of it. Their inflammation is going to get better. But if they go back on that food, and you know that they're allergic to it,
it's probably going to happen again.
It's probably just going to happen again.
But if it's a reflux issue, and maybe you can get the reflux, you could put them on the PPI, but get them on an enzyme and eventually get them off the PPI, that would be ideal.
Yeah, if it's a reflux issue. If you know, let's say you send them off for allergy testing, mm-hmm. all of that is negative, you know, and so you determine, okay, they've just got really bad reflux, mm-hmm. so then you treat that, and then maybe go back in a few months later mm-hmm. and re-biopsy and see how they're doing mm-hmm. and maybe consider weaning them off the PPI or taking them out. It just depends how they do.
Right. Only if they're on enzymes. That's the thing. You can't really wean somebody off of a PPI if they're not compensating, right?
Well, no. I mean, we can wean them off. It just depends how they're doing.
Okay. I've just heard so many patients who say they try to wean off their PPI and the reflux comes
back. It's true. Yeah. A lot of them, you know, if they have bad reflux to the point where they've got, you know, all this inflammation and these eosinophils. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it is hard for these patients to wean off. Right. I mean, they have apparently had that inflammation going on for a while. You know, if they are someone who has a hiatal hernia, we can send them off to a surgeon to get evaluated to see if they would benefit from getting that hernia repaired so that they're not refluxing up so much acid. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we need to look at.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. And diet modification.
Oh, right.
I mean, that's really one of the biggest things is diet lifestyle modification.
Eating better,
mm-hmm. avoiding certain things that we know can flare acid reflux, mm-hmm. okay, like chocolate, caffeine, alcohol, onions, tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things that we know can potentially flare the acid reflux. And so counseling these patients on dietary modification, lifestyle modification, you know, if they smoke, quit smoking. Mm-hmm. If they're overweight, lose some weight mm-hmm. and, you know, exercise. I mean, mm-hmm. so all of that stuff, I mean, I didn't mention that, but it's so important.
Yeah.
So important.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much
Absolutely.
For talking about eosinophilic esophagitis. This has been an eye-opener, and we'll look forward to catching you all on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.